Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI.
For us humans, we have this tendency to have these goals, this vision of what we want, but then we don't back it up with the beliefs necessary to achieve them, with the plans to achieve them. And that's what gets in our way. So it's not that we're not capable of achieving 5x, 10x the results. There are obstacles in our way that are, for the most part, hidden. And there's only four.
You know, one of the most fascinating things that I've realized about doing business for so long and having been in this space for over a decade now, 13 plus years now, is that I'm often getting reintroduced to people, reconnected to people that I once met a while back. And for whatever reason, we just didn't stay in touch or just things got busy. And John Asraf, today's guest, is somebody who I'm not connecting with for the first time, but I'm reconnecting with. And I'm excited about that because I was initially introduced to John a while back. I want to say 7 or 8 years ago. I actually met up with him in his office. He had an office here in San Diego at the time. And we met and I was just fascinated about what he was doing. He had this amazing studio where he was filming. And he was filming for his clients and his students with relation to the brain. And he's a very scientific approach kind of person when it comes to helping people build the right habits to become high performers, right? And we're going to discuss a lot of that today because today in this reconnection, I get connected with him about how we innercise, right? Not exercise, but innercise. That's actually the name of one of his best-selling books. He's a best-selling author. You can check out his book, Innercise, right now, or check out just his website, johnasraf.com. He's got some amazing free stuff there for you. But it's a really, really good conversation we have today because we get into the science behind what's happening up there in our minds and getting rid of the things that are stopping us from moving forward and also just understanding. And one of the things that you need to know is just what's happening up there so you can understand it and learn how to deal with it and learn how to move through that. And we're going to enable you to become a high performer today because it really all happens up there. So this is John Asraf, somebody that I'm happy to be reconnected with and a very powerful voice and somebody that you should definitely listen to. So here he is, John Asraf from johnasraf.com.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, he closes his eyes when he eats something tasty for optimal taste sensation, Pat Flynn.
Our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you're like most entrepreneurs, you probably spend a lot of time sitting. Well, a standing desk can make a huge difference. It's actually a complete game changer. If you haven't tried one before, this offer from Uplift is for you. Plus, you can support the show at the same time.
visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. Over a million customers have chosen Uplift Desk. Innovative product designs, reasonable pricing, same-day shipping, free accessories with every desk. You can see why they're such a big hit. Standing while I work helps me get the creative juices flowing, helps me focus and stay productive, and I'm way more alert when I'm standing. And Uplift is a great deal. An industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that. And they provide a state-of-the-art experience. They're stable, made of very solid materials, and there are over 100 desktop choices and customizations available. Go to UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's UpliftDesk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order.
John, welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Thanks for coming on the show with me today.
Great to see you again, my friend.
Also, the day that this will be published is your birthday. So happy birthday.
Woohoo! So I'll be 61 on on the day that it launches.
For people who can't see you right now, you're very young looking, 61, I must say. I'd be very happy to look like what you do in a couple decades. But anyway, I want to get into a lot of what you are an expert in. You are an expert on the brain and helping people perform at a high level. How did you get into what it is that you do?
Well, it actually turned out to be a mess that my life was in when I was in my early 20s. I was on the wrong train, on the wrong track, heading in the wrong direction. A lot of limiting beliefs about not being smart enough, not good enough, and failing miserably. I was working in the shipping department, making $1.65 an hour. And I had a mentor who asked me why I was focusing on those things and doing things that were illegal, because I was also, while I was working in the shipping department, selling drugs and doing drugs. And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, one of the reasons is because you're not using your brain the right way. And I was thinking about, what do you mean I'm not using my brain the right way? He says, well, you're focusing on why you can't achieve stuff versus how you will achieve stuff. And then you've got some disempowering habits that are just reinforcing themselves. And so you're just going to get better at doing all the wrong things. And so he said, what would you like to achieve in your life? And I said, I don't know. And he asked me to fill out this document around what I want my health to be like, my wealth to be like, my career, my business, if I was ever going to have a business, and the lifestyle that I wanted to have. And I wrote out all of these things that were basically a fantasy for me. He asked me one question. Before he asked me the question, he says, you know, I'm going to ask you one question. The answer will determine whether you achieve all of these things. And so I said, great, what's the question? And he said, are you interested in achieving these things or are you committed to achieving them? And I asked him, I said, what's the difference? And he said, well, if you're interested, you're going to come up with stories, reasons, and excuses why you can't. He said, but if you're committed, you'll do whatever it takes. You'll upgrade your identity. You'll upgrade your beliefs, your habits, your skills, and your knowledge to match the goals you want to achieve, because all of the how to achieve them is readily available. But if you're focusing on what you're achieving right now, you're going to keep reinforcing and re-achieving the same things. So anyway, I said I was committed. And he shook my hand. He said, in that case, I will be your mentor. And he started to teach me how to set goals, how to prime my brain daily around achieving those goals. And he taught me how to create plans to achieve those goals. And I started to achieve goals. And at 19 to 20, over an 18-month period of time, going from making $1.65 an hour, I made $180,000 when I was 20 years young, selling real estate of all things, which I had no idea how to sell. I didn't know the legalities. I didn't know the marketing. I didn't know the selling. I didn't know the math behind real estate. But by starting to develop a new self-image, a new identity, by starting to upgrade my knowledge and skills a little bit each day, 1 hour a day specifically, I started to be able to achieve more and more and more of my goals and dreams. So I did that. And then I got another mentor who was really good in franchising. And I became his partner in 1986, a long time ago, in RE/MAX of Indiana. We bought the rights for RE/MAX for the state of Indiana. And then I was the CEO. And I moved to Indiana and then opened up 85 offices, recruited 1,200 agents who, at the time I was still the CEO, we were doing $4.5 billion a year in sales. So I started to learn how to think differently, how to create a new self-image, how to create new beliefs, and how to create habits that align and resonate with the level of success I wanted to achieve. So that's how I got into it, where I just started to see, oh my God, that we have the most powerful biocomputer in the known universe between our ears, but very few people have the user's manual. So 41 years ago, I got onto the path of researching human brain and behavior and psychology, and hence became, you know, I guess a brain researcher of sorts and a behavioral neuroscience researcher that applies what I learned, but then teaches other people how to do it.
Amazing. What an incredible turnaround in a story. What I'm curious about is the mentors that you found along the way. How did you find them? Because I think that could be very, very important for our growth, no matter where you're at, because you can't read the label when you're inside the bottle. It took this other person on the outside to see it. How did you find those mentors and get in contact with them?
Yeah. So the first mentor, his name was Alan Brown. My brother taught him tennis, and he told my brother told him, my brother's going down the wrong path. He's going to probably end up in jail or the morgue. And this guy just said, well, why don't you have him meet me for lunch? And so I took the train from Montreal to Toronto. I was living in Montreal, took the train to Toronto. And this happened at lunch over, 45 minutes. And then he said he'll coach me and mentor me. So I moved from Montreal to Toronto, went to work for his real estate company for zero money, on commission only, not even a dollar to pay for, a bowl of rice. But he quickly taught me the fastest path to cash was through sales. So I started making money within 45 days. Then I left his real estate office where I was an agent. Then I went to work for Remax. And in the basement, there were these two guys who had bought Remax for all of Canada. And so I went downstairs one day to see what's down there. And this guy said to me, hey, I'm Walter Schneider. I'm the founder of, Remax Canada. I said, oh, hi, Walter. I'm John Asraf. We just started talking. We became friends. I asked him, like, what do you do? I sell franchises. Well, how do you sell franchises? What's the benefits? He started to teach me about franchising. And then there were some opportunities that arose to buy my own franchise, which I tried and it didn't work out. And then this other opportunity came up because I wanted to get better. He says, hey, do you want to buy Remax of Indiana with me? And I said, sure. Where's Indiana? And so, I put some of my own money down that I had made, and I borrowed the other half of what I needed from a friend of mine. And then I moved to Indiana and then started getting into franchising. And then, my third mentor was a gentleman that I met in a business deal that I was involved in that didn't go well. And the guy just liked how I dealt with the business deal that went sour. And he said, hey, my son invented this technology that I think you might be able to help. And this was in 1997. And I'd already been building Remax of Indiana for 10 years. And so I hired somebody to run Remax of Indiana for me. And then I took advantage of this other opportunity because this guy, Len McCurdy, had built a company with 5,500 employees that he just sold to IBM for hundreds of millions of dollars. And he was going to build this company with his son, and he wanted to do an IPO in a year. IPO, I would love to learn how to do an IPO. And so I moved to San Francisco. We raised $28 million. There were six founders. And I learned from Len how he did the financial structuring, how he went from idea to 1,200 employees in a year. And we went public on the ninth month.
Wow.
He was able to collapse time through his knowledge and skills. So I just happened to be searching for people. In the last deal, I wasn't searching. The last deal just fell on my lap. But I was ready to change and switch what I was doing to explore and be curious about something else.
That's amazing. I want to unpack those stories more, but I do want to get into what I know you are an absolute expert on, and that's how we can kind of rewire what's happening in our brains to discover the next chapter of our lives and make ourselves happier and make more money and all the things that we fantasize about. You had mentioned that word fantasy. A lot of what we write down on our goal sheets or our five-year plan, it often feels like a fantasy. And we start to question whether that's even like possible for us. It almost becomes a joke that, well, I'm just kind of, it's a wish list, but it's never going to happen. How do we begin to unlock those things and turn those fantasies into realities?
Let me do this for a second. All right. I'm going to shift over here to my desk and I'm going to bring a little brain.
All right. I'm looking at a brain.
I usually carry my brain with me. So, I mean, before we get into the fantasies and the shifting, would you agree that, everybody's born not with a plastic one, with a real brain? And what we know from a neuroscience perspective, every brain functionally works the same, right?
I agree.
So every car functionally works the same. And the better I become as a driver, the faster I can go, maybe the sharper turns I could take, maybe I can learn how to skid, maybe I could learn, you know, a variety of different ways of driving. So the first thing I need to learn are the fundamentals of driving, right?
Right.
And then I can learn how to accelerate and maybe use more complex tools and techniques, whether it's on ice, hail, sleet, snow, whatever the case is. That's a little more complex. But when we're talking about, you know, the human brain, would you agree that we were not born with any skills? We weren't born with any beliefs. We weren't born with any fears. We weren't born with a self-image. We weren't born with any self-confidence or certainty or doubts or anxiety or stress. Maybe a little stress when we were born, right?
Right. We're innately born with the ability to know that we need to eat and to breathe and, you know, all those basic things. But all the other things you mentioned come about later.
Yeah, we're born with some genetic propensities. I get that. We're born with an autonomic nervous system that actually breathes us, digests food for us, eliminates food, right? But everything else, our brain creates these patterns. So if I learn a pattern around, let's say, my parents, you know, that money is good or money is the root of all evil, you know, or in order to succeed in life, you have to go to school and get your degree and then go to graduate school, your PhD, or become a doctor, or become an engineer, then I start to formulate this idea, this paradigm around what the real world is like, but also what am I like? What can I achieve? What do I deserve? And so the more we are in an environment with the experiences that reinforce, first create and then reinforce cellular connections or patterns, the more those patterns go from a loosely connected state to a more rigid, more hardwired state, almost like software coding on a computer. So we all become conditioned to believe I can achieve this. And we have all the references of why that's true. Even though we all can also do this, I want to achieve that. I'd like to have that. I want to stop that and start that. So what we are learning specifically about this is that there are different parts of the brain, like there's different parts of a car, like there's different parts of a watch that do specific things. And 97-98% of all of our thoughts, emotions, and behaviors are repeated habitual thoughts, emotions, and behaviors. So we don't do what we can do or should do or want to do. We do, we think, we feel what we are conditioned to think and do and feel, or feel and do. So whenever we're talking about the brain and imagining and setting our goals, like I have, you know, my exceptional life blueprint here, you know, with my vision board of some things I've achieved, some things I want to achieve. But then I have goals for my, you know, for my health and wealth and relationship and career and business success and milestones and everything else in this book. Part of our brain that sets goals is what I call, and you may be able to see up there, the Einstein painting over there. That's part of my brain that activates the imagination network of the brain. And we have an imagination network. If you think of your brain as an organ or organism, as I prefer to call it, that has networks and circuits, and the networks either are on or off, work together or don't, and circuits turn on or off. So one of our networks is our imagination network. And we could use our imagination to imagine. And in imagining, if we imagine something that we want, that makes us happy, that excites us, we actually activate a circuit in the nucleus accumbens or tegmental ventral area of the brain that releases dopamine, feel-good neurochemicals. And when we feel good, we say, let's go after that. But what happens if we set a goal, for example, to build our podcast to 1 million downloads or 100,000 downloads and create passive income of $1 million a year? Well, if we don't have the knowledge and skills of how to do that, chances are that that part of the brain is going to get active. I call that the Frankenstein's monster part of the brain. Left prefrontal cortex is Einstein. Right prefrontal cortex is Frankenstein's monster. Now, this part of the brain says, hey, okay, you want to achieve this goal, this vision, this lifestyle, this passive income. You want to do it through podcasting. Awesome. That's great. But what if you fail? What if you invest your time, your money, your energy, your attention, the most valuable of your assets, and you fail? Will you be embarrassed? Will you be ashamed? Will you reinforce that you're not good enough, smart enough, or worthy enough? Will you be rejected? Will you be unloved? Will you hurt your children? Will you hurt your wife? So while we have this one part of our brain that wants to achieve something, and we write it all down, and we have this vision, if we don't understand how to manage our beautiful, amazing emotional response center of our brain that's there to protect us, then chances are we are going to deactivate the motivational center that the vision and the goals actually activated. And we're going to activate the fear center. And this is where the brakes go on. And how does it do that? Well, there's a mechanism that you and everybody else is very familiar with called the fight, flight, or freeze reactive mechanism in the brain. Whenever we feel real or imagined danger is in front of us or in the future, it releases the neurochemicals that actually counter the serotonin, oxytocin, or dopamine that are the natural feel-good neurochemicals. So now we have adrenaline, cortisol, norepinephrine, and that's the chemical that people go, oh, God, I feel anxious. I feel stressed. I want to move away from that feeling. Let me have a cocktail. Let me take some Xanax, or let me meditate, right? Very few people go to meditation to remove that feeling or breathing. They go to another suppression technology or methodology. So when we are in a state of ignorance, meaning I don't know, okay, how to turn off this fear circuit in my brain. I don't know how to activate the attention, the executive attention network in my brain to set the goal and the vision, to be aware of the emotions that are disempowering me and to override them by using the executive attention network. And then by setting the goals and reviewing them every morning and then every night before I go to bed, there's a part of our brain called the salience network as well. And it's the part of our brain that notices either what we fear or revere or what we have given our brain as an instruction to tag as a high value item. So it pays attention to that, right? So I've given you a lot of stuff here, but to sum it up in a way is there's some neuromechanics that are happening. Everybody wants to tell the time on their watch accurately. But what if it's not working and you're not getting the right time? What if you're not achieving your goal? Shouldn't you see what's going on underneath the dial? Is there a spring that may be out of kilter? Is there something that's broken? And for us humans, we have this tendency to have these goals, this vision of what we want, but then we don't back it up with the beliefs necessary to achieve them, with the perspectives necessary to achieve them, with the emotional management necessary to achieve them, with the plans to achieve them. And that's what gets in our way. So it's not that we're not capable of achieving 2 or 3 or 4x, 5x, 10x the results. There are obstacles in our way that are, for the most part, hidden. And there's only 4.
Well, I'd love to talk about those things because I think we could all relate to that. It's really interesting how this fear, which is almost there to protect us, is actually what's holding us back in a way. And to be able to manage that, I think when we live our lives on autopilot, that's when we get into trouble because we aren't conscious about what is happening under the hood, like you said. So I'd love to take the face off the watch and see what's underneath so we could see what's going on. So let's talk about these.
Yeah. So if we think about, what are the 4 primary obstacles that can get in the way? So we've talked about a couple of them already. So let me give you an example. We can either use business, as an example, or we can use your body weight as an example, your physique, either one. It works the same way because the mechanics, the circuit for fear is the circuit for fear. It's not like there's 18 of them. There's a circuit. So if you think about, I set a goal, big vision, big goals, passive income, you know, five times more than what I'm making right now. Oh my God, that would be so good. I can live in my dream home, a nice car. I can give to the charities, travel. Oh my God, I'd love to travel here and there. Maybe we can go business class this time, right? So I set this vision and I said, okay, 3 months from now, I want to be here, 6 months here, a year here, and oh man, in a year or two, you know, everything's gonna be great. Awesome. Great part one. What if you have some limiting beliefs, right? So the vision's set, the goals are set. But what if you have some disempowering, limiting beliefs? What is a limiting belief? Well, obviously it's a belief that limits you, but in the human brain, like you weren't born with a belief. You weren't born with any belief whatsoever. You were taught that you're male, female, or other. You were taught the ethnicity. You were taught everything. You were taught what to believe because of what your parents believed, your sisters, your brothers, your television, the books you may have read. You were taught to believe that Santa Claus is real and the Tooth Fairy is real. And you believed it for many people until you got new evidence, right? So the new evidence overrode the old evidence. But did you behave as if Santa Claus was real when you were a kid? Of course you did, if you practiced, you know, Santa Claus and Christmas, etc. So a belief that limits you, a limiting belief, could be around your age, your ethnicity. It could be around, you know, COVID, the market, the war, the interest rates. It could be because of that, it's harder for me to that. If you believe that's true, your brain says, okay, let me show you everything that's in line with what you believe, but let me have you feel and behave in ways that mirror and match your beliefs.
Confirmation bias.
It's confirmation bias. That's exactly right. So if I want to achieve a goal, but I have either known or unknown, conscious or unconscious beliefs and biases that oppose that goal, I may take one or two steps forward, only to take four back. I may procrastinate or self-sabotage because of that. Number two, let's say that you do an intellectual exercise and an imagination exercise of what you'd like to have to be like. Dream big, right? Fantasy. But then there's a part of you, your self-image, maybe hidden, that says, am I really worthy of that? Do I really deserve that? Right? So this hidden self-image is actually what causes a lot of people to have imposter syndrome, right? So even while some people achieve great success, they don't believe that it was them and their hard work and efforts that achieved it. They feel like a fraud, not because they didn't do the work. It's because there's a hidden self-image that doesn't see them at the level of success they've achieved. And in many cases, and we've seen this a lot, for example, with athletes. We've seen it with movie stars. We've seen it with musicians who sabotage their success with alcohol, drugs, or other behaviors to cause crazy, crazy pain in their lives because they're battling the outer world of results with the internal map and expectations of reality. That's what drives the destructive, disempowering, sabotaging behavior. As soon as we get integration, we have coherence and harmony. So that's number two. Self-image could be in the way. Number three, I have this vision. I have these goals. And I don't have the knowledge or the skills or the resources to achieve them. So in the absence of the knowledge or the skills or tools or resources, let's understand the word stress for just a moment. What does stress really mean? What activates the stress circuit that releases the neurochemicals that cause us to feel stressed out, right? So let's think of it this way. When the demand exceeds your current capacity, the stress circuit gets activated. When the demand, the physical demand, emotional demand, spiritual demand, financial demand, mental demand exceeds your current capacity, the stress circuit is activated. So the demand are the vision that I want, the goals that I want to achieve. That's the demand I'm asking of myself. in the absence of the knowledge and skill, tools and resources to achieve that, I'm going to activate my stress circuit. When my stress circuit is activated, one of four things happens. I fight it, I freeze, I faint, or fight. A fight, flight, freeze, or faint. That's the four F's of the stress response. So if I'm in a freeze modality, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to keep in my comfort zone and do that. If I'm going to fight, I'm going to try and like work hard through it. So now we're dealing with the stress response or a stress reaction. And then the fourth one, which does the exact same thing as what I just said, is this. Fear. 50 different types of fear. 50, not five, 50. So how does our brain work, right? So the hierarchy of how this $100 billion organism works is this. Security and safety, number one, right up there with oxygen. Number two, avoidance of any pain or discomfort. Number three, conserve energy, just in case we need to fight, flight, or freeze, right? And then number four is gaining of pleasure. Our vision, our goals is the gaining of pleasure. But we will not behave in ways to gain that pleasure if number one and two, okay, are predominant in our psyche or in our life. So if my brain can easily choose the goals that I want, but if another part of my brain in a billionth of a second is running a check and balance against anything that's real or imagined that's in my memory bank, that would suggest that there could be a safety or security issue for my life. That could be pain or discomfort because I lose money, I lose time, or I'm embarrassed, ashamed, ridiculed, judged. I'm rejected. I'm not loved. I'm ostracized. Whatever one of the fears would be, those are your top six or seven, then the automatic reaction of fight, flight, freeze, or faint is going to take precedent. So I know I'm giving you a lot of stuff now, and I'm going pretty fast, but the whole idea is to understand that I'm not achieving my goals because I can't. Because would you agree? Let's say, number one, we have a lack of knowledge and skill. Can we acquire the knowledge and skill from almost anything in 2022, 2023? Of course we can.
Absolutely.
Like you want to put, you know, a rocket ship, you know, with a helicopter on Mars, done that. You know, you want to cure some forms, you know, of disease, done that. You want to get humans to the moon and back, done that. Right. So it's not that we can't. We first have to set the vision, the goals, and yes, develop the knowledge and the skills of how to achieve it. Create the plan. That's, you know, easily done. You can get a coach, a consultant, Google, a book, a course, whatever the case is. Now, do I have the beliefs necessary, like the implicit subconscious beliefs necessary to be able to follow through to completion? Yes or no? It's binary. Yes or no. If I don't, then what beliefs do I need to create and reinforce so that it becomes part of my dominant operating system? Now, if it's true that a belief is nothing more than a reinforced neural pattern, then the question is, how can I create a belief and impress it into my subconscious mind, which is where the implicit memory system is? And the answer is, think about this, and this is going to be true for self-image as well. I want you to imagine that you get a tap on the shoulder at a little coffee shop that you're at with a good friend. One of your favorite Hollywood actors or actresses or producers is there. Maybe like right now, Tom Cruise is big with Top Gun, you know, billion plus in sales. And let's say, you know, Tom Cruise taps, says, hey, we're doing Top Gun 3. And there's a 5-minute piece that we just wrote. And you look like the person that can play that role. If I give you the script and I give you an acting coach and we work with you for 6 months, could you learn this script so that we go to Hollywood, film you in 6 months and you don't need the script? You're going to go live to camera, but you're going to practice it for 6 months. Would you accept $1 million to be in the movie with Tom Cruise, and could you learn the script?
Absolutely.
Great. So in order to learn the script, how would you learn the script? You sign the contract. You're going to be in the movie. You've got your coaches. They're lining you up with everything you need. What would be your process to take something that's on a piece of paper that you've never seen? It's a lie right now. It's not true. What would you do to take these words and make them a part of you?
Practice, rehearse.
Oh, how? How specifically? Would you read it once?
Not once. I'd read it over and over again and probably take it
until
line by line until it's second memory. It's just
like, it's yeah, just like nature. a song you just hear on the radio that you, oh, that's a great beat. That's a great tune. What are they saying? Let me practice. Oh, let me get the record. Let me get it on my cell phone. Let me get it on my computer. Let me listen to it until I could recite it. And then through deliberate practice, you could learn the lines. Then do you think you could actually record yourself on your camera, you know, or on your mobile phone, and you could listen to it and watch it? Do you think you can get critiqued until you can learn the character well enough within 6 months? And the answer is yes. So what that tells me is you could take something you've never seen that was written by somebody else, and you can make it a part of you through spaced repetition and practice.
You had mentioned at the beginning of this interview, when you were getting started with your mentor, were doing something daily, 1 hour every day.
Well, I was updating my knowledge and skills to learn how to sell real estate, but I was also reviewing my goals and running my fingers across it. And I was recording affirmations and declarations and promises that were not true, that over the next 90 days, 180 days, over the next year, they became true. So the reason I created my brain training programs that we've sold, you know, 100,000+ of them in the last number of years is because there are evidence-based methodologies that we know work to create and reinforce neural patterns. So if a belief is nothing more than a neural pattern, then why not deliberately choose the neural patterns I want and let me reinforce them myself and develop my own brain? And whether we can use visualization, because visualization is simulation, and a whole bunch of other tools. So now I can develop a self-image by visualizing myself being that role. And if I visualize myself being that role, I'm creating again a neural pattern that if I reinforce it every day for 5 or 10 minutes, now I'm overriding my old self-image. I'm deliberately choosing a new self-image. I'm adding the beliefs that are required. I've added the knowledge and the skills. Thereby, I start to formulate some new habits if I start taking action. And then we have this last little piece of the puzzle, and that is emotions, right? So first question is, what are emotions? Like, I'm going to go back to, we have this $100 billion brain, and none of us were born with a user's manual. I have been dissecting the user's manual for 41 years now, trying to understand the neuromechanics of behavior and perception and feelings and emotions, and what is the difference and habits and what causes me to not do the things I want to do or know I should be doing. Why is it so hard for me to break a habit? And the answer is because I don't have a process for most people. I don't understand the neuromechanics of a habit in order to change it. So chances are I'm going to use the wrong strategies. No differently than if I try to solve the Rubik's Cube with the wrong strategies and I don't know the algorithms, I can never get it solved. So effort is almost useless, okay, in the absence of the right strategies and tactics. So now we're dealing with emotions. And we have empowering, constructive, positive emotions. Got it. And when we feel empowered, we take action. But we have disempowering, destructive, negative emotions. Or not negative, but ones that cause us to not take action. So if fear is activated, is fear a negative emotion? No. It's just an emotion. It's a signal. If you're driving down the street and your car dash light pops up Have you ever taken a hammer to hit the dash light? No, it's a light. It's a signal. Well, if the fear reaction has taken or been activated in your brain because of a memory that pain or discomfort or safety or security is possible, and you don't know how to recognize the emotion of fear, and you don't know how to release it and take action anyway and actually use the neurochemistry fuel of fear to propel you forwards, you're just ignorant. You're unskilled. Like if you asked me to go and fix my car and I took the car engine apart, I guarantee you 10 years from now, that engine would still be sitting in my driveway because I have no idea how to put it back. I don't even know how to take it apart. I'm not a mechanic, right? So where I'm going with all of this is it's our ignorance that usually is in the way. And ignorance just means I don't know. Doesn't mean I'm not capable. I just don't know. Everybody could learn how to solve this in the next hour if they committed to. Now, I'm going to go back to the question that my mentor asked me, right? Are you interested? Are you committed? Because I could teach you everything you need to do, but unless you practice and put into action what it is that you're learning, no learning actually happens. The learning happens when you take something, you apply it, and you get the visceral stimulation and experience of what it is that you did. So when we're looking to achieve goals, it's a totally different process than setting goals. Setting goals happens in one part of the brain. Achieving goals happens as a result of other parts of the brain working in harmony and coherence instead of in chaos. And so I'm all about goal achievement versus just goal setting. Goal setting happens to be part of the goal achievement process, but that's only one piece of the combination. I've got you thinking, which I love.
No, I love it. I mean, this is a masterclass on how the brain works. And when we begin to understand how it works and the biology that's happening, we can begin to, like you said, change the way we feel and think and what we believe we achieve. And what, unfortunately, we believe is the result of the environment that we're in that we often don't have control over. But what we do have control over is what we say about ourselves, stories that we're telling ourselves, etc. So these daily affirmations, for example, are something that a person can begin doing. I know that you also have this thing called the Brainathon that happens that helps people with this stuff every single year, I believe. And you have your 10th anniversary Brainathon coming up. Can you tell us what that is and how that might help us real quick?
Sure. So a lot of people, you know, over the years have asked me like, who are you learning from? Where are you getting all this brain stuff, psychology stuff, and how to break free from what's holding you back? I said, well, there's a variety of neuroscientists and neuropsychologists that I work with all over the world. And so I started doing this Brainathon literally 10 years ago. And every year I invite, 2 to 6 of them, plus other brain and success experts to join me on the Brainathon. And we teach for 6, 7, 8 hours, you know, on a Saturday, wherever we can take a day off and we don't charge anything. It's kind of like our giving back time. And I've got some of the best individuals in the world teaching about what they are discovering and how they are helping, whether it's their students, because they're professors or PhDs teaching, you know, or they're people that are like me that doesn't teach in the university, but I teach to millions of people around the world. And we just teach, here's what we've discovered over the last year. So this year, you know, I'll be teaching some of the new neuromechanics and what to do and how to do it to really break free from the obstacles. I've got Dr. Judy Ho should be on this year as well. We're actually finalizing her being on like today. I've got Dr. Joan Rosenberg. Both are experts in forensic neuropsychology or in psychology, teaching PhD programs like Dr. Joan Rosenberg on emotions and learning how to differentiate between emotions and feelings and what is really holding you back, but how do you overcome them? I'll have some entrepreneurs that really broke free from lives that could have been considered challenging, to say the least, that are achieving, you know, great success. And what did they do? How did they do it? I love to model success. And so I like to find out, you know, what were your challenges, whether it's traumas, whether it's failures, whether it's limiting beliefs or fears, and what did you do specifically to overcome them? So we're going to be doing the Brainathon again this year. And it's free. And I'll give you a link for anybody who may want to sign up. And we'll have some fun.
Awesome. Well, that's happening a month after this episode's published. And if people get that link afterwards, I'm sure they'll get access to either the next one or the replay or what have you. But we'll have a link in the show notes for that. So stick around for that link. And John, this has been absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for helping us give us an understanding of really how are things working underneath the skull of ours. And when we begin to understand that, we can begin to control what it is that we experience in our lives and have these fantasies actually come true. So thank you for that. I appreciate you. Where else can people find you and follow your work?
Sure. So they can go to johnassaraf.com, and there's a lot of free stuff on there. And they can sign up for my daily Prime text if they like. They can sign up for my newsletter. They can hop on Instagram, Facebook, and they can pick up one of my best-selling books. My newest book is really pretty powerful, called Inner Size, The New Science to Unlock Your Brain's Hidden Power, number one on Amazon, or my other New York Times best-selling books.
Nice. We'll have all the links in the show notes for everybody. John, thank you again so much for your time today. Appreciate you, and looking forward to the Brainathon and connecting with you in the future.
Thank you, Pat. You have a great day. Appreciate you.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that conversation and reconnection with John Assaraf. It was really great to talk with him again. And I remember when doing this interview, because I'm recording the outro a little bit later, that I had the same feelings talking to John that I did when I first met him. Just there was this presence about him that I can see why a lot of people go to him. A lot of really, really high-end people go to him for coaching and high performance. So if you want to check out John and all the things that he has going on, you can check out johnassaraf.com. And like you said, his best-selling book, Inner Size, which you can find on Amazon, really, really great. And I highly recommend you check it out. If you want to go to the show notes page to get the links and everything that's conveniently laid out for you, all you have to do is go to smartpassiveincome.com/session611. Again, smartpassiveincome.com/session611. And I hope this motivates you to begin to at least be conscious about and think about what's going on up there, especially when you are met with troubled times, when you are met with challenges, and as you are trying to continue on toward your goals here as we close in on the end of the year and start to create new goals for 2023, which is just insane to think about. But anyway, I appreciate you for listening all the way through. John, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate you as well. And if you haven't yet done so, hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss future episodes. We have a Friday follow-up coming very, very soon, plus some amazing guests coming up your way. In fact, next week's guest is somebody who's very, very important to me, because a lot of my work wouldn't be here without him. So we're going to talk about that and all the things he's up to. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss it. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. We'll see you in the next one. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at smartpassiveincome.com. I'm your host, Pat Flynn. Our senior producer is Sarah Jane Hess. Our series producer is David Grabowski. And our executive producer is Matt Gartland. Sound editing by Duncan Brown. The Smart Passive Income Podcast is a production of SPI Media. We'll catch you in the next session. Starting a business can feel daunting and confusing, but it doesn't have to be. That's why Terry Rice started the Launch Your Business Podcast, another awesome show from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Each week, Terry shares strategic actions, specific tools, and what he refers to as high-performance mindsets that allow you to thrive under pressure. Recent guests include rapper T.I., Amy Porterfield, and yours truly. And Terry frequently publishes value-packed solo shows too, like this one titled How to Write Proposals That Get Accepted and Don't Take Forever to Write. Great stuff. So make sure you listen in to Launch Your Business right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.